You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, so it's Wednesday. It's hump day. That means we're halfway to the weekend. It also means at 4 p.m. on Wednesdays, we do this thing we call the Grand Council. And I bring in a couple of my brethren who've been doing talk radio longer than me. And we ping each other with questions, figure out what kind of interest we got. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't, but we still love each other when it's over. Today, I got a bit of a change in the lineup, but I do have one of our regulars from FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Poor Show, and also the editor-in-chief of 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you with us?
I am present.
You are indeed. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate you. Thank you for helping me with scheduling also. Also, by the way, it's like we have the Coastal Caucus today, so... from FM Talk 106.5, host of Midday Mobile, Sean Sullivan. You on the line there, Sean?
Here, present.
You are indeed. Thank you, brother, for stepping in. We appreciate you making time.
No problem.
All right, so, Boomer, I pronounce a quorum. Hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ba-ba-da. All right. All right. We're kicking it right off with Jeff Poor. You go first. What do you got for us?
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell had a senior moment today, it appears. This is just a trend throughout government. So who's going to last in their dedicated position longer, KIV, Joe Biden, or Mitch McConnell?
You didn't even bother with Dianne Feinstein, who's already given power of attorney over to her daughter to handle her affairs, but she's still making decisions for us. I'd look at this thing, and I thought, by the way, you stole my question, but I thought this is awful because I know what they're doing. They don't want the Democrat governor of Kentucky to appoint his successor, so he's just hanging on. In the meantime, he's having these seizures or whatever they are. It's politics versus his health. I don't know that he can do this in front of the microphone. At least Joe Biden can fake it like he kind of didn't realize whose hand to shake. But Mitch McConnell just blanks out. Sean, weigh in. What do you think?
I think who outlasts him? I think Governor Ivey outlasts him.
There's that
situation. Yeah, I think she does with both McConnell, Biden. I think Ivey's the last one standing. But I wonder, I thought about it today, looking at that, it's sad that we can look at the politics of it, but to see that video again of Mitch McConnell and that just frozen in the headlines, do we slot limit our elected officials? We have a lower level for president. Maybe we do a slot limit. You can keep fish from 15 to 21 inches. Maybe you got to be, you got to be above 35 and below 75 or something like that. We slot limit the presidency, and maybe we move that on into the House and Senate.
It's funny you say that because I asked sort of a similar question. Do we have an age limit on politicians? Jeff, I think you said a few weeks ago, you said, no, let the people work it out. If you want to elect the person who can't even walk down the aisle, then that's your choice. But you know what? In Alabama, though, Jeff, I don't know if you're aware, we actually do age out our judges. At 70 years old, you can't be a judge anymore.
Well, let me say this, though, about Kay Ivey. I've been here for 20 years. She's on her last leg, and she's going to go any day now. And guess what? It's 2023, and she's still got three years left of the gubernatorial term. So the correct answer is anybody but KIV. But yeah, I leave it up to the voters. If you want to put Mitch McConnell as your U.S. senator, despite all his shortcomings, then that's the will of the voters. That's the consent of the governed.
It is, but I still look at some point. There's got to be some measuring stick for health, wellness, infirmity, and I don't know how you do that. I really don't know how you do that. But at some point, man, you're looking at people like Dianne. It's making a mockery of the office. It's awful, and sometimes it happens after the vote. I mean, like Dianne Feinstein really capitulated. I mean, her health just crashed after the vote. All right, let me jump on another question. Back to Alabama for a minute. Representative Susan DeBose from the state legislature wrote a piece. I know I saw it in 1819. I think I saw it in some of the others. Detaching ourselves from the American Library Association. It's amazing how liberal and what a battleground libraries have become. Is it to the point right now that the legislature needs in some form of involvement to mandate detachment from a national association? I don't know if they can. I'm asking for spitballing here with you guys. Tell you what, Jeff, you go first.
Yeah, I don't think they should, but I think it's more of something the local governments have to put upon their local library. So if it's a county system or if it's a city library or whatever it may be, then they need to decide that. The things like that just ought to not be left up to the legislature. But, me sitting here in Fairhope, Alabama right now if they're affiliated with the ALA, I don't know if they are or not, but they are. They should disaffiliate.
Well, we got these crazy situations happening. You guys wrote about another one. Erica wrote this piece today about the library in Ozark with the sexually explicit books in the kids section. And you're thinking, what the heck? I just had one of my callers tell me they went and asked if they could put some of the Brave books, donate some of the Brave books that Kirk Cameron authors in the library, and they declined them, said it was too controversial. Weigh in, Sean. What are you thinking?
I mean, first of all, the flippant response is, hey, if you want to hide something from kids, put it in the library, right? I'm not going to go looking for it. Seriously, the stuff is beyond the pale in Alabama, and I would say in a lot of other states. I thought about it this way. The way the federal communications rules are on decency on air, there's obviously the no-goes nationally, but you can get more narrow and look at community standards, right? In the past, what could be said on radio in New York City or Los Angeles wouldn't be acceptable in Topeka or Mobile or, anywhere else. So maybe you need to look at that for the library and say, hey, disassociate with national groups because, hey, what is okay in a national sphere, if they're looking to each coast or very liberal places, does not fit with community standards in other states or other communities. So another way to make that decision is to not be linked to a national organization pushing certain books.
Well, I would agree. And then when you look at the leadership of the American Library Association, they have an avowed, what does she call herself? An avowed lesbian Marxist or something like that. I've forgotten what she calls herself, but it's just unreal. And it's certainly not the values of our state. But I don't know. More to come on that one. I tell you what, Sean, you got a question for us?
Sure. Okay. Yeah. So excited about this as I will hit the Winn-Dixie here shortly for the weekend as I get started because got kids' birthday parties and all that stuff. I'm going to be rolling in the dough with a 1% reduction in taxes on groceries. And as long as I stick to the standard items that are protected from that. So I'm going to enjoy that money. I'll probably use it to, buy extra presents for the children or, bubble gum. One piece of bubble gum. What will you do with your 1% reduction in grocery sales tax? How are you going to make that come to life? What are you going to do with it?
I will celebrate. How about that? I will revel in the fact that they at least cut something.
Right.
And
did something.
They did. I mean, it did. They're phasing it in like it's scary. And I know it's scary, but here they are with record budget surpluses. But we did get 1%. And I tell you what, at some point I have to recognize, take the win. I look at it and go, I can maybe buy a 16-ounce soda. If I buy $100 worth of groceries, I'll have enough saved to buy a 16-ounce soda. But you know what, though? At the very least, they did something. Jeff.
I don't know what I would do with my 1%. So typically my trips to Publix are about $100 a trip. So it's going to be a dollar. What will I do with a dollar? I've always wanted to put it toward like a new Corvette or something. I think a Star Corvette fund. And just over the years, I will maybe accumulate enough dollar bills to get one.
So you're gonna basically have your dollar bill kitty for the Corvette. That's gonna be awesome. And then
like in a coffee can or something, right?
Yeah, and bury it in the backyard in mason jars. But I tell you what, so
just dig it up every time.
When you're 77 and you've got enough for the down payment, call me and we'll ride it together.
That sounds like a plan.
I like it.
So you'll be what, 107?
Probably. I am a granddaddy now. I'm just going to take that zinger and go right to a break. All right, that's round one. Round one of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News and his coastal brethren, Sean Sullivan, also from FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile. Glad to have them both. And just little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back for round two. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're back for round number two of the Grand Council. Both of our council members today are from FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile. We got Sean Sullivan, host of the Midday Mobile Show, and Jeff Poor, host of the Jeff Poor Show and the editor-in-chief of 1819 News. Round two, Jeff, what do you got?
So I'm a little curious from both of you, where if you had to vote today, where are you going to go with the 2024 Republican presidential nomination?
You're asking the guy who runs a 501c3 here to make a nomination endorsement?
I'm just asking who you would vote for. I'm not asking you who you you don't have to support them or anything.
I'll be honest with you. I'm in a position where I don't think I can actually say that right now. But I'm going to tell you, it's still top of the ticket. I'm looking at Trump or DeSantis probably being the top two. I think he's a little slick, but I think Ramaswamy has got a future in politics at the very least. Sean.
Yeah. So, you're saying who I'd vote for, Jeff, or who do I think gets the nomination?
Who would you vote for if the election were today?
Today. All things are saying today, it's going to be Trump.
Yeah. I think you're there. What about you, Jeff Rowe?
Yeah, I'm probably in the same place. I mean, I'm impressed with DeSantis, but I don't think he can win. I don't know. I might vote for DeSantis. I as you can tell, very undecided, but I'm not trying to avoid my own question here.
Yes,
I
you are.
I'm probably voting. I just thought of this. So I'm probably going Trump, to be honest. It feels like other votes are kind of a throwaway vote. These Ramaswamy, he'll be gone, and he'll be gone in a few weeks.
I don't know if he'll be gone or not. I think he's going to be a cabinet member and then run for a future election is what I'm thinking.
Well, when I mean gone, it's like he's like Herman Cain was in 2000 and 12 or whatever it was. And then we'll have like a Ben Carson. You know, these guys come and go in the horse race of politics. But I say that he'll be gone. He'll be back and pack again.
We'll see. So, Sean, by the way, just take note that he put us both on the spot like that and then didn't want to answer his own question. But it's okay.
Starts crawfishing.
Crawfishing. All right, I'm asking the next question. So President Biden has now had over 370 days of vacation. Calling lids early is not a vacation. That happens too. And I gotta ask you, in your opinion, do you feel like there's any murmuring or whispering of discontent among the Democrats? Are they getting embarrassed by things like two vacations in a month for 9 days to, you know, Lake Tahoe and 5 days at the beach while Maui burns? I mean, are the Democrats, do they have any shame at all, or are they totally blind to it? Jeff?
They have no shame. I mean, it's just, here's what I think. To be honest, Senator, you look at, like, they don't have a lot of faith in they're down the bench ticket. I mean, they have no faith. They had no faith in Peter Buttigieg. I don't think they had any faith in Kamala Harris. These are the people they didn't think they could beat Trump. They had to look. The sure thing is probably Joe Biden, and the deal was made, and they got Joe Biden on the ticket in the last cycle in 2020. I think they're afraid of what they really are and what kind of appeal it has to the American public.
Sean.
So, I mean, first of all, you
got
to ask this question. Do they think that President Biden is busy making decisions when he's there? You know, if he's the one making the decisions, I would maybe disagree, but I don't think that's important. He's there as, you know, the way the hood ornament is on an old Dodge truck. It's there, but it's not the engine. So, yeah, if he's absent or something, it's no skin off their teeth because somebody else is making the decisions.
Well, I'll just be honest with you. Having watched the way he makes decisions, I don't think he's making the decisions.
So if he's there, it doesn't matter. If he's gone, it doesn't matter.
It's a great point. All right, last question of the day. Sean, what do you got for us?
So, yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned Maui and the wildfires. I thought about this. Just a side note before I get to the real question. You know, with warranted attention today on Hurricane Idalia, with warranted, and I mean, we're in Hurricane Alley. We've lived through hurricanes, you know, our whole life down here. It is interesting to see how much more action, how many more press conferences there have been just in a day here on Idalia than there have, for the Maui fires. It could be approaching, if all those people that are still missing turn up dead, we're looking at numbers not up to but darn close to the Katrina death toll. So it's interesting to me how much more attention's on Idalia, where they've had two people die so far, and there could be more. But, I was going to ask this question, though. I don't know if you heard this. It's come up before, I think, after Hurricane Charlie. I heard rumblings about it earlier this year at the start of hurricane season, that insurance companies could be trying to really protect themselves from exposure in the state of Florida to the point of pulling out of Florida. So let's say this is another billions and billions in insurance claims, you know, after last year in Florida. They do it again with Idalia. Do insurance companies end up pulling out of Florida for homeowners insurance?
I don't think they can. I think at some point they're going to recognize the market. I mean, the movement of the population to states like Florida and even the coastal regions of Alabama and all, at some point they have to recognize there's still a client base there, and they're going to wind up, I guarantee what they're going to wind up doing, though, is adjusting their rates up, and then you're going to see the same arguments in their legislature that we see in ours about coastal insurance issues, and the northern part of the state's going to go, not our problem, but go ahead, Jeff, with about a minute left.
They may try, but I think there will be some that would go and pull out. I just too risk averse, but there will always be something available. Something in the marketplace will fill that void, is what I think. I don't know how it's regulated, but they may force the federal government to try to do something, which would be an utter disaster.
Oh my gosh,
that would be the fear.
Oh my
gosh, that's what I think is coming.
You think they're going to wind up having government-subsidized insurance through disaster relief, huh?
Yep.
Holy cow. You guys are depressing me. All right. Well, hey, listen. Nonetheless, Sean, thank you for talking to us in the middle of the deli section at Winn-Dixie. We appreciate you, and thanks for making time, man.
Hey, thanks. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Sean Sullivan, host of Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile. Jeff Poor, host of the Jeff Poor Show from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, and just me. We appreciate you guys both. Thank you much. And that was the Grand Council. By the way, Jeff mentioned Pete Buttigieg. Have we heard Buttigieg's name in a while, Boomer? I don't think we've even...
We have not.
Like,
where is he?
Is he on paternity leave again? Could be.
He could be.
I mean, you know, when you adopt a child, you need at least 2 months out.
Maybe three.
I'm just wondering. Buttigieg. I got to do some investigation. There may be a whole Buttigieg segment coming up. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Go home time for the day. Y'all stay tuned. We'll finish it up here in a few minutes. Be right back.